Okay, let's turn our Bibles this morning to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Certainly on a day like today, this time of year, this passage of scripture is is certainly a sharp contrast as we think of our Savior who came in his condescension, as we think of him coming in his humility to redeem mankind. And then we transport into the end of this world and the final judgment. It's somewhat hard to comprehend what it must be like, what it would be like to stand there at that judgment. You know, there certainly is of no comparison. But I have never really gone to court before as a person, except for one time. And I've gotten, sad to say, a couple of traffic tickets, and I thought, well, I'm not going to contest the highway speeding. I might as well pay it, you know. But someone got a ticket because they were using my car, and I got the ticket. And so I thought, well, I'm going to, in fact, what it was didn't stop for a school bus. And apparently the school bus lights got, you know, turned on and they were already close or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But I got the ticket on my account because it was my car. So I thought, well, I can contest this. You know, it wasn't my car. I wasn't driving, and they didn't have enough time to stop, and so I'm going to go to court. Well, I got there early, and the judge is up there, and whoever was there, they read something off, and the judge says, blah, 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 blah. Pounds his gavel. It's over. You know, it's like, whoa. I mean, this is a real court, you know. And I think the same thing happened. Another person came up and they said, oh, you know, read this and read that. And just boom, you know, $300 and this and that. And, oh, it was like, this judge. I mean, this judge has authority. I mean, there is no back talk. There is no, you know, whatever he says goes. Wow. And, you know, so how they do a plea bargain. I came into the courtroom and I saw there was the bus driver sitting there, you know, and he was going to be a witness. And somebody comes up to me and, you know, the district attorney assistant says, hey, we'll lower this from whatever to $100. And I says, I'll take it. I'll take it. I said, I don't want to stand before that judge. I don't stand before that judge. Well, here's a judgment. There's no plea bargain. There is no plea bargain. And it isn't a traffic court. It's the final judgment of mankind. And we're here in Revelation chapter 20. The Bible tells us who the judge is. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it. Well, in this case, it doesn't tell us exactly who it is, but from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. We think of that particular phrase. We are reminded what it says in verse 7 of chapter 1. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, that's Jesus Christ, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. John chapter 5 and verse 22 makes it very clear who sits on this throne, and this is the statement of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 5. And verse 22, it tells us that it is Jesus Christ who sits on that throne. John chapter 5, and it says, verse 22, for the Father judgeth no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father, which has sent me. So here we know that this person on this throne is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what I see here is I see that the Lord Jesus is on the throne. He is the judge. And all the earth is seeking to run away from him. But there's no place to run. No one wants to stand before that judge. A little bit like me going to that courtroom. Okay, whatever, plea bargain, I'll do. I get out of here. I'm going to get out of here. I don't stand before that judge. But all the earth, the Bible says, will try to flee from him. But there would be no place to run. No place to hide. No place to get away from this judge. You know, as I think about that, I think of the Lord Jesus in his earthly ministry. One of the things that's really great as you read the book of Luke, you read about how approachable the Lord Jesus was. You know, in the Gospel of Luke, we find the woman with issue of blood approaching the Lord Jesus. We find wicked women approaching Jesus and being forgiven. We have a mother with her child approaching Jesus for her child. We have publicans approaching the Lord Jesus and being forgiven. You know, they say that if you want to give part of the scripture to give a Muslim to read, give them the Gospel of Luke. Because that Jesus in the Gospel of Luke is completely different than the Jesus of their thinking, and completely different than the God of their thinking. In the Muslim thinking, God is not a God that you can approach. But yet in the scriptures, we find the Bible says that the Lord Jesus is so approachable. He has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And we think about of the Lord Jesus pictured in the parable of the prodigal son and etc. But here we find that in this place, everybody wants to run from the Lord Jesus. Whereas on the earth, Jesus said, "Come unto me. Come unto me. He that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out." And so, who are these people who stand before Jesus Christ? Who are these people who want to flee at His presence? Well, of course, we understand a few things here. We understand that this is the second resurrection. And the first resurrection is past. This is the second resurrection. And the second resurrection is the resurrection of the wicked. It is the resurrection of the unsaved lost. These are the people who are now standing before the Lord Jesus Christ. And earlier in the chapter, we learned about the first resurrection, but now we're in the midst of the second resurrection. And remember what the Lord said, John 5, 25 through 28. And 28 to 29 says, "Verily, verily, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life." There's the first resurrection. "And they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." This is the those who are now a part of the second resurrection, the resurrection of the unsaved dead. And notice what it says here about these people. Verse 13, it says, verse 13, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them." And we have the realm of the physical body, death and the sea. And we have the realm of the soul, hell. Those souls waiting in fire, those dead who have not accepted Christ. Luke chapter 16, like the rich man who in hell lifted up his eyes being in torments. These are the participants of the second resurrection. But as you think about it, who are these people? These people who want to flee from the Lord Jesus Christ. Who are they? They are the people who would not come to Him. These are those same people who would not come to Him with His arms stretched out, with His calling to lost. "Come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden. Come, and I will give you rest." It is those who have refused to come. It are those who have refused to confess Jesus Christ as their Lord. Those who have refused, who have been ashamed of Jesus Christ, ashamed to claim Him as their Lord. These are those who are there. "If ye deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father." But if he confessed me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. Romans chapter 10, and whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. There's those who were afraid. You know, we live in a world of fear, don't we? I was asking Mrs. Wright, I said, you know, and this might be just her opinion, but I said, you know, we're trying this Bible study at the high school. And we're saying, why aren't they coming? And of course, her husband was the junior high principal for years in Maquonago, and knowing Maquonago, and she said right off the bat, she says, they're afraid. They're afraid of what other young people will say. Afraid of what people will say. Who are these? They are those who were afraid to confess Jesus Christ. Notice another thought here is who are these who are standing here? These are they who so loved their sin, they would not turn from their sin to come to Jesus Christ. These are they who loved their sin so much that they refused to turn as a sinner to Jesus Christ to be their Savior. Perhaps it was the sin of pride. They thought they were good enough. They never saw themselves as a sinner. But these people are those who are a part of the second resurrection. It's the resurrection of the lost. It's the resurrection of those who die without Christ. It is those who failed and would not go to Christ. Now they're going to flee from him. There are those who will not confess him as their Lord. Now they stand before him as the Lord. There are those who would not turn from their sin and find his words. Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And now they will stand with their sin before Jesus Christ. They will stand with their sin. Now notice, it says, it talks about the factors of the judgment. What is the criteria of the judgment? Verse 12, the books were opened, which is the book of, and another book is opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. Books. Books. There's the book of life. And everybody who stands there will not, their name will not be found in the Lamb's book of life, because they have not trusted the Lamb, the Lord Jesus, for the forgiveness of their sins. You know, it's sad. You know, there's a great evangelist that said, well, there's going to be people in heaven who haven't accepted Christ. People who just did the best they could. Not according to this verse. Those people who have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lamb, whose name is not written in the Lamb's book of life. And so every man was going to, there's going to be some criteria. And there's going to be a books that are opened. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 7. In verse number 10, gives us a picture of this judgment from different words. In verse number 9, and I beheld the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. You know, it's interesting, the thrones were cast down. It says the small and the great. You know, we live in a world in which the great somehow don't think they're going to ever stand in judgment. It seems that the more powerful and the more power that men have, somehow the thought escapes them that somehow that they too will be brought into judgment. But it says here, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. And a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him. That's millions. And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. And the judgment was set, and the books were opened. What are the books? The books that God are, that the books that record every deed that man has ever done. It's the book that records every lie that was ever told. It's the book that records every swear word. It's the book that records every evil thought that a man had. It records every evil deed that any man ever did. They are all written throughout one's life. There's a book written that records the deeds of every man, every person. Now, God doesn't need to write a book, but he does write a book. And all the dead, because they have, without Jesus Christ, because they have not accepted him, because their sins and their iniquities are not put away, every sin, every word, every action, every look, bad look, every internet site, every picture that they saw, every bad picture, everyone will be written down. Man will be judged out of the books. It would seem to me that there's another book, and that's the Bible. Because the Lord said at the judgment, he said, I will not judge you, but the words that I spoke unto you, they will judge you. And all of life will be judged according to God's perfect standard. Even lost people would be better off to know the Bible and to know how they ought to live, at least avoid some sins. But the men that the criteria will be what is written in the books. You know, I've talked to people and they say, well, you know, I think I get to heaven, I just confess the sins of, you know, I'll just confess my sins. And I don't need to accept Christ as my Savior. I don't need to be born again. I just pray and have my sins forgiven. And I said to him, are you sure that you even know all your sins? What about the sins that you've forgotten about? What about the things that were sin that you didn't know were sin but are wicked? And so the books will be opened. You know, it's interesting, the people of Israel in their apostasy, one of the things they said in their apostasy, it said, God doesn't see. And as we live our lives, one of the lies that the devil gives out, not only to lost people, but to saved people, the lie is, God doesn't see. And we know that's not true, but yet we somehow we believe it, don't we? Why do people do it? Their sin at night. You know, I don't know if this is true. I'd have to research it, but someone told me that in the Islam, they have some kind of idea that God doesn't see at night. And I don't know if that's true, but I know plenty of people who've been live in those countries, and they say in those countries it is wicked at night. The factors of the judgment, the criteria, the books are opened. But what is the result of the judgment? What is the verdict? Well, the verdict and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. The verdict has two parts. One, the place that everyone will go who knows not Jesus Christ. I would love to think that everybody in this building is saved. I would hate to think that there are even members of Mequonago Baptist Church that aren't saved. But I know that the possibility is very real. That there are people right here today who are not saved, who we think are saved, who pretend to be saved, but aren't saved. That's a very real possibility. And the verdict for everyone at this judgment would be lake of fire. Now we know there's a second half of the verdict. And the second half of the verdict is the place in the lake of fire that man will be. Because there is such a place as any fire has a place of degrees of heat. The closer you get to the flame, the hotter it is. And the Lord Jesus said to the Jewish people, it'd be more tolerable in the judgment for you, for Sodom and Gomorrah, than for you. It'd be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon. And Tyre and Sidon was the home of Baal worship. Be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon than for you, Bethsaida, and you, Chorazin, and you, Capernaum. Why? Because those were the places Jesus had done his mighty works and done his wonderful miracles. And of course, the Lord says, to whom much is given, much is required. And I hate to say that there are flames, and it could well be that there will be people who heard the gospel but rejected it, who are in a greater flame. Than the worshipers of Baal. This is the second death. What is the result? Eternal punishment. Eternal punishment for sins that men would not go to Jesus Christ to have forgiven, to be cleansed from. Eternal punishment. But also, eternal separation from the Savior. You know, today we live in a day in which people say, oh, I don't want Jesus Christ. I don't care. But that eternal death is not only eternal punishment, but it's eternal separation from the Savior that men have refused to receive. Just think of the opposite. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden. Jesus said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Just think of the difference. John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. What a contrast to this statement, this sitting, behold the judge. What a contrast. The books are opened. Every rotten sin, every vile thought, every wicked word on display. Verses, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. What a contrast. What a contrast. Church at Thessalonica. And says how you wait, how you look forward to the to seeing the Son, the Lord Jesus. Our blessed hope. Our soon appearing of our Lord and Savior. And John says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And the dead without Christ who will flee from His presence. This is the day that we can come to Jesus Christ. This is the day that we can come to Him with our sin and have them forgiven through the wonderful Savior. There will be a day in which it will be too late. There will be a day that there's no turning around. There's no second chance. What a terrible day that will be. The great white throne judgment. No place to flee. The dead, small and great. All the books will be open. And the verdict will be the same for all that are there. Is your name written in the book of life? I hope so. Mine got written there October 31st, 1968. When was yours written there? When did you as a sinner turn from your sin and turn to the only one who can forgive you of your sin and give you a new life. When was the day? What was the day? Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. When was the day? When's your birthday? When were you born into the family of God? If there's no birthday, if there's no birth, there's no day. And our life would end today. Then this is the day that you will face. Doesn't matter that you spent 10 years in this church. Doesn't matter. If you know the Bible verses and you recite the Bible verses in Sunday school, it doesn't matter. All that matters is that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know, there will be people there because they're ashamed of Christ. There are going to be people there who are too proud to admit they're sinners. There's going to be people there who chose Christ, who chose their sin over Christ. But you know, as Christians, we can make that same mistake today, can't we? We can make those same mistakes. We can make the same mistakes those who have spent eternity lost. We can be afraid of what people will say if we live for God. We can be ashamed to mention and to stand for Jesus Christ. We can refuse to pay the price to do what's right. The very same things that people will spend eternity will trip up people who will spend eternity in the lake of fire can be the same stumbling blocks in our own life, can't it? It's a warning to all of us. To think of the Lord Jesus. Come unto me. Come unto me. Don't be ashamed of me. Don't let your sin be so important that you won't turn from it. Don't think that there's anything in this world that costs too much to follow me. Come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden. Will you be at the great white throne judgment? Today you can decide that you're not going to be. You can decide to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and be born in the family of God. Today's the opportunity. Certainly, limited crowd we have today. God knew this was the message. It isn't for that person or that person, not the person in front of you, not for the person in front behind you. It's for you and me. Need to face it squarely. Are we born again and members of the family of God, our name written in the book of life or not? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth of the Word of God today. Lord, it's sobering. And oh Lord, we think of the psalmist who said, blessed is he whose sins, whose transgressions have been forgiven. Lord, we are amazed, astounded at your love for us in your mercy that's available through the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, Lord, we are humbled and we are shocked by the reality of the judgment for those who refuse your Son. And Lord, may we live within that reality today for those who are here today who know thee not. Oh, might they flee to the Savior. And Lord, my hearts be burdened by the fact that this is a terrible, terrible reality. Help us, Lord, not to have the flippancy of a world that cares not about eternity. Help us, Lord, to care and with fervor and zeal to spread the wonderful message of Jesus Christ and salvation in Him. Help us not to be ashamed. Help us not to be afraid of men and what they say. Lord, help us to not be to stumble over some foolish sin that we will put in front of the will of God. May you speak to our hearts. With heads bowed and eyes closed, is your name written in the